Stop it, stop it. It's not being this is totally recording.
Okay, here we go.
This is a compilation of a bunch of thoughts I had in the summer when I was in Mitzvah Yericho. It's a bunch of kiddushim I had together. I'll show you that you're all here because it's really late at night, and what the heck is Hoshana Rabbah? None of us really, and not yet, have a real holding on what Hoshana Rabbah is. So just to be here is Mesiras Nefesh in and of itself. So I praise you guys for that.
Well, the cake is keeping us up.
Thank God for the cake.
And Pepsi.
Too much cake, actually.
There's no such thing. No, especially when you're in a sukkah, you eat as much as you want. Basically, what this is going to be is the following. Let's say it better this way. Simchas Torah is a very, very powerful day. A day which I definitely in high school for myself, I never really connected to, because Simchas Torah in its essence, a person can only really understand after he's gotten the Torah. Simchas Torah and Mishmini Atzeres is the last of the whole. It's the whole thing. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You can even talk about Chanukah and Purim maybe or the next Shlav. But either way, it's the last of the Chagim. It's the last of the holidays. A person can only really understand it if he's really been in touch with this and been in tune with everything that has to be represented beforehand. And a lot of us coming out of high school, we don't really have a connection to that. Simchas Torah is when you develop such a relationship to Torah that you can experience it on an unbelievable level. It's like when you get married. Is anyone going to be sad at their own wedding? Except for Zev. Is anyone going to be sad at their own wedding? No, everyone's going to be happy at their own wedding. Simchas Torah is that level. Okay, I haven't had a relationship with Torah on that level ever. Okay, Taka, so I hear. This shir, I'm recorded, so I don't want to say anything that I don't think. This shir, I really believe, is going to give that to you. That's what I want you guys to see in the Gemara. Because what we're going to do is, we're going to take, in the first shot, we're going to take two Gemaras which have nothing random, has nothing really to shock and power. You're not even holding what the heck is, and it's similar stories. What's going on? We're gonna then bring in like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 other Gemaras found throughout Shas. I did Chazara properly, or Halavai, I learned all of Shas already, and I'd probably be able to bring in 100 more Gemaras, but I haven't yet. Bezrat Hashem. No, so this so you're gonna see the beauty of Torah, maybe at its finest, if I'm able to teach it properly. And then you'll really be. I hope you'll be able to experience Musar on a better level. And then once you get to that level, the whole shir, the whole concept of the shir, this, what the beautiful, beautiful concept. You're only going to be able to see this when we get there. The whole concept of the shir, that which we're learning in and of itself, besides the fact that we're tying in everything, the whole shir is going to teach you, I think, a lot about Hoshana Rabbah, a lot about Simchas Torah in its essence. So if everyone can, we're going to have to share. There's a lot of Gemaras here, so enjoy. I want to see at least one person opening it up. So we can see it inside, and I'm not just reading it off and making this up. The Gemara in Shabbos Mem Vav. I'm gonna move.
I'm gonna trust you that it's in there.
You can trust me. I think that I wanted the Gemaras to be brought here so that you can at least pretend to want to open up the Gemaras. I know it's hard to see it, but I Shabbos first. I honestly believe you're gonna get a lot more out of it if you see the Gemaras inside with me. So I'm reading from Shabbos Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Here we go. The story is as follows. You don't have to look inside. If you want to look inside, I highly recommend it. Here we go. The story is as follows. We are on five lines from the bottom. Rav Avya Ikla Lebe Rava. Rav Avya entered into the house of Rava. Havam Miasin Be Kroy Betina. He was making the bed of Rava disgusting. Asivi Apuria Kameh the Rava, and he was sitting because he was sitting on his bed. And his feet were all up, and he was making his bed disgusting. Kapit Rava. Rava was really upset about this. Balatzari, he wanted to make him upset. And Rashi says in this, what is Balatzari? He wanted to slug him up, ask him good questions. So Amrle, my time of Rav of Rav Yosef. You guys don't have to know in essence what the halakha is behind it. Amrle Darveu Shraga de Nafta Nami Sharlu Taltule. Why is it that this candle, which you've lit up with really disgusting oil, and now smells really bad, why is that I'm not allowed to carry it on Shabbos? You don't have to know the halacha. He's asking him a sharp question. Because you can cover it up, even though it's a disgusting kli now, you can still carry on Shabbos. It's still a kli. But why? Because you can use it for something else. Again, it might be a little, what the heck is this? Why am I talking about Shabbos? What the heck am I doing right now? You're going to see at the end, you're going to be like, oh my God, how do you write? This is the craziest Torah. I'm not joking.
Easter?
Ella Ma'ata. Kol Tzoror Shebechatzer Metatzelin Ho'ul V'chazil K'suvi Bo'mana. So let me ask a question. This kli, something that's muksa, is something you can't use on Shabbos. Right? This kli is not muksa. Why? Because you could use it for something else. So wait a second. Right? He's got dirt on his feet. Oh, so all the dirt in the world, maybe you should be able to carry on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. Why? Because you can use it to cover up other things. Oh, says Rav Avia. That was Rava trying to slug up Rav Avia. Says Rav Avia back to Marmalei. Ha'ika Torah's kli ala, ha'leika Torah's kli ala. Dirt is different. Dirt doesn't have a Torah's kli. That isn't called a kli. While a kli is called a kli, and therefore you can carry it on Yom Tov, on Shabbos.
You can declare many things of this. So
don't. We're not talking about muksa. We're not getting to halacha. I just want to get into the whole point. Is that Rav is trying to stoop Rav Avia in halacha, and Rav Avia was able to come back and answer up good. Milo Tanin, did we learn of Raisa? Just turning the page. Hashir Vanizimi, Matabos, Ariyim, Kekola, Kalim, Anatim, Vachatzar, all these different types of jewelry. They are Kalim, and you can carry them in a Chatzar. So there we go. Va'amar Ula Matam, what's the reason that you can carry all these? Oh, V'yika Torah's Kli Ale, Hachanami Ho, V'yika Torah's Kli Ale. So to here, even though it's a dirty Kli, and you use really bad oil for it, it's Torah Kli, and that's the difference between dirt. So again, Rava was proved wrong by Rav Avia, even though Rava wanted to prove wrong Rav Avia. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, remember this, Baruch Ramana de lo kispe Rava le Rav Avia. Thank God, basically, that Rava was not able to embarrass Rav. Rava was not able to embarrass Rav Avia. Now turn to Bechoros, Daf, Nun, Chet. Sorry?
Bechoros, Daf, what?
Again, point is right before the Mishnah. The point is the following. Rava tried to disprove Rav Avia. Rav Avia was sitting on the bed. He had dirty feet. I was making Rava's bed dirt. Rava got all upset. Hey, why are you making my bed dirty? Now I'm going to ask you strong questions to shlug you up and show you're not even Talmud Chacham. Rav Avia came back with a great answer. Oh, Ikator's Kliala, Lekator's Kliala, and I'll even quote you Bryce, I'll quote you Ula, wow. And then Rav Nachman was like, oh, thank God that Rava wasn't able to slug up Rav Avia, and Rav Avia was able to come back and disprove Rava. So, Rava was disproved. Nun Zayin Omen Aleph Bechoros. You ready for this? Sorry, not Nun Zayin. I apologize. Not Nun Zayin. Where is this? It was here. It is Samach. I apologize. Samach. Coming off a brisa with Bechoro, sorry, with Meiser, there's two doors, and therefore nine is really Pater. I'm not getting into that. This is complicated halachim, so I'm not getting into it. Nine, because then it's, I forgot what it's called, actually. When you have the possibility for ten, it therefore is Pater. But either way, the same exact story, Tirgumar Rav Huna Bar Schora, you see that it's approximately seven lines from the top. It is seven lines from the top. Tirgumar Rav Huna Bar Schora, Kamei de Rava, right? Before Rava, he wanted to berigla on the regel. He was saying the din of a deer, sheyesh lo shnei psachim askina, right? We're talking about a deer. What happened? I'm not going to even give you the halacha. We're going to skip the halacha, go straight to the whole point. Basically, Rav Schora puts forward an understanding of this brisa. What happens? And you go down to the end of Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right? Right before that, right before Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rava says, tries to ask him two questions. Rav Huna Bar Schora answers back both questions. And what happens? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the same thing. Zakai Eime, Rav Huna Bar Schora, Dishani La Rava Shmata Berigla Kishmata Kazet. Thank God that what? That? That he wasn't embarrassed and?
The
Rav Huna Bar Schora. Rav Huna Bar Schora came in and was like, hey! Look at this, Bryce. I'll give you my interpretation of it. Of a Meiser, and there's two zeros. And then Rava tried to prove him wrong. And then what happened?
He got disproved.
And then what did Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak say?
Thank God you didn't embarrass him.
No. And that Rava praiseworthy is the mother of Rav Huna Bar Schora that he was able to teach such a teaching to Rava on the Rega. Tov?
Yes, so thank God that Rava wasn't able to disprove
Rav Huna Bar Schora. Two different stories that are very similar.
Thank God that he did disprove
that he wasn't able to. The truth is, the lashon there is that he taught such a teaching on the rega to Rava. Okay, now you ready? This is the important Gemara. This is the essential Gemara. So I highly recommend looking at it inside. The Gemara is in Sota Daf Hey Oman Aleph. There's a machlokes Rava and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak on the source of gaiva in the Torah. Daf Hey Oman Aleph. The source of gaiva in the Torah. Exactly three lines from the top. Omar Rava, Omar Ziri. Rava says in the name of Zihiri, Shimu Vahazinu Al Tzigbihu. The it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that the source of gaiva. I'm telling you right now, all good things in life are very hard. They take a lot of effort. Do not raise up your head. It's in the times of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is talking to the king. Don't raise up your head. You should bow. I think it was to Ashur at the time. Bow to Ashur. Or no, bow to the word of God, which is to bow to Ashur, that you should be enslaved. And therefore, don't have gaiva, don't raise up your head. So that is Rava's source for the gaiva in the Torah. Rav Nambar Yitzchak says, Amar Malcha, Psukim in Ekev, V'ran L'Vavach V'Shachachta, and you're going to raise up your heart and you're going to forget. And the pasuk continues, Yishamer Lecha, Pen Tishkach, Seshem Lekecha. That Rav Nambar Yitzchak's source, it's on the top of that almond. What's Rav Nambar Yitzchak's source for? Gaiva, and this is the interactive part. What's the source? That you're going to forget about a Kaddish Baruch. What is Rava's source? Don't raise up your head. The Malbim, general rule. Gaiva is, according to Rava, do not raise up your head. It's talking about Yeshayahu. Don't raise up your head. Yeshayahu is talking to the king. Don't raise up your head. What is Gaiva is haughtiness. So Rava says, the Indian there is that Pasuk. The Malbim says on that Pasuk, Malbim is very shot oriented with Chazal, with Gemara. What is that pasuk mean? Mord v'malchus, when you're going into the king. It's mamish, when you have gaiva, you're going into the king. When you have haughtiness, you're going into the king. Rav Nambar Yitzchak holds, don't forget about a Kaddish Baruch. That what happens when you have gaiva? You're going to forget about the mitzvah, you're not going to do anything, etc. No, it's not. Why is it the same thing? Why, again, so what are the two things, Zeb? What are the two things?
You said it's one's being mord v'malchus and the other one is forgetting about Hashem. Hashem's our king by being more remarkable.
You can know God exists and just
no, you said that it's going against Hashem. Yes?
Mm-hmm. More malchus is Rava.
And the other one was,
don't forget about a Kaddish Baruch. You're going to forget and you're not going to do the mitzvah. Yishamer lecha pen tishkach.
Yeah, if you're going against Kaddish Baruch when you're doing something, that usually means that
you ready for this? Rav Nachman says, look at that. See it? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Mehacha, from here, V'ram levavach v'shachachta, and you're going to raise your heart, you're going to forget, V'ksiv, and then it's written before, which it is, Yishamer lecha pen tishkach, watch yourself lest you forget. Cool? The bottom of that Amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and Rav have another machlokas. You know what that machlokas is? How much gaiva should a Talmud Chacham have? How much haughtiness should a Talmud Chacham have? Rav says, you're going to have the answer at the end of this. Rava says, take a guess. Someone take a guess. Shout a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit. We're going to put you in excommunication if you have, and we're going to put you in excommunication if you don't have. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, is it small that's written that it's a total Torah? You shouldn't have anything. So now, let's just think. Let's just think for a second. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak quoted you a pasuk. What's that pasuk? Lest you
forget.
Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says you should have none. Rava quoted a pasuk, don't raise your head, it's more of a malchus. Yet Rav is the one who's telling you that you should have a little bit. What's going on? Think about this. It's a subtle point. Rava says the whole issue is morid b'malchus, and he says you should have a little bit. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says the whole issue is you're going to forget about God, and therefore you shouldn't have anything. And if I were to tell you pshat right now, I would say it should be the opposite. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and you could argue with me here, but I know it's going to be the opposite of what I'm saying right now, but you could argue with the point I'm going to say. I would have said this. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says if you're going to forget about God, that means that it's external from gaiva. Gaiva in and of itself is not bad. What's the issue? You're going to forget. So therefore, you could have a little bit. While Rava says, what's the whole issue? The second you have gaiva, what's happening? You're going against God. Let's just explain that out for a second. What does it mean you're going against God? God runs the world. And when you say, I'm the best, then...
Going against God.
Going against God. When you say, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, then what happens? You're by definition going against God. God's the greatest. You're saying you're the best. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, the second you have gaiva, then... you're going to be a little lax in this, so I want to sleep a little bit. Haughty, self-censored.
That's why one of them says you could have a little bit.
That's why Rava might say you have a little bit. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says you should have none. You ready for this? I'm going to tell you a little bit about Rav. I'm going to tell you a little bit of Naamar Yitzchak, since I see it's a little difficult for us to see every Gemara outside, so I'm going to tell you a couple of them outside. Rava was the Mor de Asra of a place called...
What is the Mor de Asra?
The leader of a place. Mor de Asra, the master of a place. He was the master of a place called... Someone take a guess. Mechuza. B'nai Mechuza, as seen in the Gemara Pesachim. If you were writing this out, I highly recommend it. It's crazy. Pesachim, Daf Nun Amud Bet. Baba Kama, I don't remember at the end. In Shabbos, Daf Lamed. All these are shout-outs to B'nai Mechuza that they are very wealthy and they stink. Not stink, like literally stink, meaning that they... That they're over Averot. Meaning they're so rich that they get fat and then they don't want to work and then they...
You sure go get fat.
Exactly, you get fat and you kick.
Yeah, who is the...
The B'nai Mechuza. Rava was the leader of this place. Rashi says, if you see it over there, Rashi says on Sota.
Oh,
so why is Rava saying what he's saying? Why do you need a little bit of gaiva?
To be confident.
So that you can give the people good answers. Why is Rava saying that? Because where is Rava the leader of?
Where
they need good answers. Why? You need to be able to control the people. They're not going to be afraid of you, says Rashi. Because they're fat and they're rich and they're not going to listen to you. What the heck, Rabbi? I don't want to listen to you.
Fat people listen. Why are we saying this?
No, meaning fat. I'm not using it as like a literal lushan. I'm sorry that I'm insulted anyway. I'm saying it as like once you.
It's going through a seizure, by the way.
Baruch Hashem, it's. Either way, no. What's the Indian? Rava was the leader of a place where the people weren't going to listen. They're stiff necked. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Rava therefore says in Sota that what?
A little bit.
You ready for the weird stuff?
Sure.
You ready for the weird stuff? Now it's going to start getting interesting. You're going to be like, Hoodie, maybe you were a little bit right after all. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in three places. I want you guys to see all of them. I forgot one Gemara, Sanhedrin. Did anyone bring a Sanhedrin in Shas? Anyone brought a Avodah Zarah? Either way, the Gemara in... We're going to see one at least inside. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf He. The Gemara in...
Learn
that one. Bechoros. Oh, yeah? What does it say in Daf He?
I haven't done Tazar.
Oh, it's not here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hey says the following. It's asking a question: who could judge the nation? Oh. Who could judge the nation? It's going through it. Who could judge the nation? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Leader.
Kamoana. Who says that? Kamoana, that I can. The Gemara asks: who could do this? Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. I can.
What?
He said you can.
Look at the Gemara. This one, I really want you guys to see this inside. It's Chaval. Look at Bechoros. One second. Check out the end of Sota, Sanhedrin, and then Bechorot, Lamed Zayin. Look at Bechorot, Lamed Zayin. Look at this. Ask the Gemara, who could check out Bechorot? You know, Bechorot is hard. You need to know the anatomy of an animal. You know what I'm talking about? So who could check out Bechorot? Says the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar Naam Bar Yitzchak.
I can.
Come on, I can. So it's weird, because all of a sudden we have big questions on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So now look at the end of Sota. Look at Daf. Wait one second, we're not done yet. Wait one second. Daf Memtet. Daf Memtet of Sota. It's really easy to remember because it's the last line of Gemara Sota. So the Mishnah says that when Rebbe died, this is obviously Rebbe's students, when Rebbe died, two things stopped. Yerushchait and Anava. So it says the Gemara at the end, Amalei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said to this Tana, who said, Yerushchait, fear of sin, don't, and Anava, they died when Rebbe died. So says Rav Yosef, Litana, he said it to the person who taught this Mishnah, Lotisne Anava, don't teach Anava. Why? Ikana, because I'm here. And what was the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah said, when Rebbe died, there was no Anava. Says Rav Yosef, don't teach the Mishnah, because I'm here, and therefore there's Anava. And furthermore, Amalei Rav Nachman, Litana. Rav Nachman, anyone remember the name?
Yeah.
Who remembers Rav Nachman?
I do.
So Rav Nachman Latana lo titne yerushchait deikana. Don't teach yerushchait because I'm here. It says Rashi deikana because I'm here. Why? Shani on vatan because I'm humble. So all of a sudden you have a weird question, because again we have a machlokes. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rava says, what's the pasuk? Don't raise your head. Why? More of a mafus. You're going against the king. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, lest you forget about God. Machlokes on the bottom of the same Amud. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says you shouldn't have anything. Rava says you should have a little bit. Why does Rava say you should have a little bit? Now we can.
Because you've lived in
Mechuzah, and the people in Mechuzah were.
They needed a little bit
of Musa. What does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok say? This is the ikker point of the whole thing. What does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok say, actually?
You can't have anything. But don't worry, I'm here. I can take care of everything. Which is the opposite of what he said.
What's the definition? I want definition then. What's that, haughtiness?
Haughtiness means
what's
like,
anava?
I'm great.
What's gaiva? What's anava?
Haughtiness is.
This is such an essential point for your whole life.
Is focusing on self.
Okay, I like that. I like that even more. Which is essentially what he said. Just, I like it more because it's a pasuk.
What's up? I'm gonna take one figure of you for the website for this. So right. Look,
I like
but
look what's Koki? I mean, you're great. They're both great. What's Koki Valtzim Yadi teaching me?
Comes from me.
By the way, it's the same area. That's the same. Same.
My strength, and it comes from my hand.
Okay, so what's another?
So
you have to know that the Gemara in Shabbos. One second, where is this Gemara? I think it's Lamed Zayin. Yeah, Lamed Zayin. Extra points I wrote. Lamed Zayin. I'm a bet. Gemara in Shabbos says, "Hey, we don't know if you can do Hadmana. We don't know if you can do Hadmana." Or Shehiya, sorry. We don't know if you can do Shehiya for Shabbos. Shehiya basically is if you can leave things over for hot food. So you know what the Gemara says?
Wait, what do you mean leave things over?
Leave things over Erev Shabbos, if you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. If you're allowed to leave things over heating for Shabbos.
You mean like, the Achilles, what's his name? Whatever, the one-third cup, or one-half.
No, two-thirds. It's, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Either way.
No, it's two-thirds. Either way.
Stop.
the you know what the Gemara says over there? We don't know what the answer is, but you know what we should do? We should check out Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, because he's a big-time chassid, and whatever Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok does, that's for sure right. So you have a big question. So again, how do we define anava? Comes from God. So now, with that definition of anava, what is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok saying to Rava? This is such an essential point for the rest of your life. Wait, before we answer this question, everyone here lives with certain facts. For example, everyone here lives with the fact that v'yahavta rechah kamocha. Everyone lives with that fact, correct? This is such an essential point for the rest of your life. It's not even funny. It's not even close to a joke. Everyone lives with the essential fact that v'yahavta rechah kamocha, correct?
Yeah.
If I told you I'd give you $1 million for that, meaning you're going to forget that and you're never going to be able to live with that fact ever again. You're going to forget about the point of Yahavta Reach Kamocha. You're going to forget about the fact that it's good to have a marriage. I'll give you $1 million for that. Would you do that? That point. Meaning that point of I want to have a loving relationship with my wife, that idea, or family, or security, that idea that you live with is more precious to you than any dollar you could put on that. Correct? Mm-hmm. This definition of anava, I humbly believe, is going to do that for you.
Yeah, humbly believe.
This is not me. This is all Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to live with this for the rest of your life. What was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok saying to Rav? Rav was saying, you want to control the people, you want to know how you do it, you do it with a little bit of gaiva. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok was telling him, anava is your gaiva. Anava is your gaiva. Listen to this point. Anava is your gaiva. When you live your life, that every single second of my life is being run by God. Every single koach that is mine is not me. It's not because I have the ability to do it, but rather because Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to me. Then you can say, Kamo Ana. Then you could say, I can be the judge of the people. Then you could say, I could...
Because Hashem is really good. Because
I could check out Bechora. I am a Yerushay. Why? Because I know God's doing it for me. I'm doing nothing. I have those abilities. But I'm doing nothing. Do you hear that?
All my talents come from
Hashem.
So you have to have their number first.
So wait one second. Now let's look. Now let's just think for a second. What happened in those two stories? This is just extra points to show you that like two random stories actually mean something. What happened with those two stories? What happened?
They contradicted.
Ravi had dirty feet. Rava wanted to upset him. Why did Rava want to upset him? Because Rava had a little bit of gaiva. Rava had a little bit of gaiva. That's why it's Suri Nafshi. He wanted to make him upset because he was upset. And that's why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, thank God you didn't prove him wrong. Why? Because it shows that I am right. That anava is the proper way to go. Rav Huna bar Schora. Schora. What does Schora mean in Gemara? Schora is Lashon? No, business. Yeah, Rav Huna bar Schora. It's my Shah. I told this Rav Shah and he liked it. Rav Huna bar Schora means that Rav Huna was a son of a worker. He worked. Rabbeinu Gershom says on the Amud in Bechorot that Rav Huna bar Schora was not a big Talmud Chacham. And it's still, he went to Rava and caught something. And Rav wanted to be wrong. Why? Because he was one of the Balabatim. You hear this? Yeah. Rav Nambar Yitzchak says, thank God. Thank God, Rav Huna bar Schora was?
Right. Was right.
It was right. So it shows that I'm right. This is all coming together a little bit? Coming a little together? Okay. Here we go. Now, we're going to take it into the next slot. That was all to show you, hey, wait a second. There could be Shlemus in Torah. There could be these ideas in Torah. Oh man, fine. We're going to talk a little bit about Hoshana Rabbah. We're going to connect it into a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says the following concept. Huh? No, we're on the same topic. We're building off that definition.
It's all Torah.
Huh? What is this topic?
Hoodie's thought.
You're going to see right now. The Gemara in Tanis says what? Venture? No. The Gemara in Tanis is the following idea. You ready for this? Marantana says, where is this? Dav Zayin. Kol osik b'tor l'shma. Nah, we'll do that last. Ah, we gotta get some of those out. Fine. We're gonna come back to this. Gemara Avodah Zarah says the following. This is the essential Gemara for anyone who wants to learn Torah and be a Talmud Chacham. You have to know this daf. Daf Yud Tet in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the following. You want to know how I know it's important? Because there are a lot of underlines. Vama Rava. Anyone remember that name?
Yes. What was the name?
Rava. Alma Rav Schora. Anyone remember that name?
Yeah.
Alma Rav Huna. Ma'idik Siv. Hon Mehevel. Second? Yeah. Hon Mehevel Yimat Mekubit Al Yad Yirbet. So we did already. Someone who wants to be Kona Torah. Someone wants to get a lot of Torah. You know what you should do? Take a little bit at a time. Why? Because then you can do a lot of Chazara. Take a little bit at a time, you can be Talmud Chacham. It's like you try and say, you know what, I'm going to finish all of Shas tomorrow. What happens? You forget it all, right? So who's teaching that? Rav in the name of Huna bar Schora. Sorry, Rav Schora. Let's skip down a little bit. Amar Rav Yedai Rabbanu La Milta Va'avre Va'ala. Everyone knows this, says Rav. Everyone knows that you have to use, but no one does it. No one actually does it. Why? Because?
Lazy.
And they've got it. We'll get to that in a second. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, anyone remember that name? Ara Aiv the Kayim Biyadi. I did it, and it was the Kayim in my hand. Anyone who has Gaiva, they're into Kavod. They're into, I want to look great. They're into the, what happens when you throw a lot of twigs onto a fire? Burns up really fast, and then?
Nothing.
Someone who puts lots of, okay, one more stick, and then lights it, what happens? You get a beautiful fire. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak with an unav, he knows that everything's from God, he knows the emes in life, and he's after the emes in life, he says that I'm able to take the steps that I need to take. Rava, not that I'm saying anything about Rava, but I'm saying this concept of having a little bit of gaiva. What? He's not able to do it. They're not able to do it because they're into the cover, they're into the immediate pleasure. So now, like Gemara in Tana says the following. If you want to be Kona Torah, the only way you can do it is through Anav. You being an Anav. Why? Because it compares someone who wants to be Kona Torah like a kli and water. Where does water stay? In the bottom of a cup. In the bottom of a cup, in low places. And the Torah, as we know, hoi, kol, tzame, roots, lamayim, anyone who's thirsty, run to water. And what's water? Water is a representation of Torah. What's an even better one? Torah in this example, what's an even better one? That the water ran down from Chorev. Where's Chorev? Chorev is Mount Har Sinai. This is before the Torah was given. That forever the Jews, whenever they think of Har Sinai, they're going to think of water. Water is this representation of Torah. Where does water rest? In the bottom of a mountain. That is an Anav. Now we're going to really start getting, now you guys better start getting, because this is going to be crazy, crazy stuff. What are we doing on Hoshana Rabbah? What's the biggest thing? What are we doing? We're taking it like this. Right, hitting its floor, and then the big minhag, is to take it and then put it on top of the Arah. So the Gemara in Yuma, and the Ayin Bet Amud Bet, this is the following. There's three different crowns. I said this last year. Three different crowns. three different toldot found in the Torah.
See that over there?
Yeah. There's three different crowns. It's more Numa. Three different crowns, three different, I don't know, maybe it's, they're crowns there. The sixth pair. Three different crowns, three different toldot found in the Torah. What are the three different toldot? Toldot Peretz, toldot Moshe of Aaron, and toldot of Bereshit. Toldot Peretz. Peretz represents Malchut, right? The father of David. Toldot Moshe and Aaron represents Leviim, and toldot Bereshit represents Torah. Then there's three different crowns found in the Beis Hamikdash. There's the crown on the Aaron, there's the crown on the Shulchan, and then there's the crown on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was where the Korbanos go, the Ketorah go, that's the representation of the Kahuna. The Shulchan, the bread, that's the representation of the Malchut. And then the crown on the Aron is the representation of the Torah. So now, we're taking the Aravot, and we're doing what? We're hitting it on the ground. Hitting it on the ground. The Aravot, which is senseless, doesn't have anything in it. Right? What are we doing? We're hitting it on the ground, hitting the ground, making it nothing. And then what? The second, is a big minhag. Everyone does it. Not in this issue. Essentially, the Aravos is more, and we're. What's the idea? You put it on the Arav. Because after you've made it such an Unav, now it could go onto the top of the Arav. Do you hear that?
Yeah. Was the Arav the crown of the Arav?
The crown is the representation, that's the representation of Torah. And the Gemara in Yuma says, anyone who wants Torah, go and get it. You can get it. That's why the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Oi! Hey! Kol Tzameh! Roots Lamayim! Anyone who's thirsty, run to water. Loba Shemayim! It's not in the heavens. V'im b'shamayim, and if it wasn't heaven, says the Gemara in Erevin, you got to run after it. Yeah? So what's this Indian Anava, Hoshana Rabbah, which we just defined? So why maybe it's also the Yom HaDin? And how do we enter into that with Simchas Torah? Clear? We now have, we've come a far way. We did a lot faster than I thought we would. We're going to get to Yoshua in a second. Say for Yoshua. How are we going to get there? Yeah, I know, it's a good question. And we got into Hoshana Rabbah a little bit. Oh, by the way, this is an idea I forgot. David HaMelech is the representation of today, right? David HaMelech is the Shvizim. David HaMelech is the double Dalit. Dalit is?
Four.
The humblest letter in the alphabet, because it's bowed over. It's a representation of humility. And with the Vav HaChibor representing Kadosh Baruch Hu, right smack in the middle, David represents humility. Yeah?
Moshe.
Oh, and who gave us the Torah?
Hashem.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at that. The Gemara in Shabbos, darshing out all the letters, says that the Nun Kafuf represents a Ne'eman and a Ne'eman Kafuf. You have to be humble. Now I'm just throwing it in, whatever. And then Tzadik, also by Tzadik, there's a Tzadik, and the Tzadik also has to be humble. That's representative of the all of this is pointing to, and the Gemara says over there, why Dafka are we doing it twice to teach you how important it is to, the only way you can be Kabbalah Torah is through Anivas. What is this idea of Anivas? David asks, you've learned Mesilas Yesharim for a very long time now from the Tana. What is the definition of Mesiras Nefesh? What's Nefesh? People, what's Nefesh? No.
Life.
Dam hua Nefesh. Who is Dam? Yeah, who is Dom?
Man
and?
Animal.
Nefesh is a representation of anyone who is Dom. It's the animalistic side to a person. Nesiris Nefesh is the definition of Nesiris Nefesh is to give up that side of you. I'm willing to give up the animalistic side of me for God. That means I'm willing to wake up in the morning for God. That means I'm willing to eat what I have to eat and not what I'm not allowed to eat for God. I'm willing to not talk to girls for God, etc., etc., etc. That's Nesiris Nefesh. That's Anava. Anava is the me, the body doesn't exist. Everything that this body is able to do is not because of me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm doing all the effort. Yeah, okay, I'm putting in 100%. But I'm able to accomplish not because I'm doing anything, only because Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Yeah? It says at the end of Shabbos that Rav Yitzchak had a big fat kippah on his head. Yeah? Big fat kippah on his head. Why? What is the representation of a kippah?
God.
Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that I have total Yiras Fate, Yiras Hashem, that God is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is over me at all times. That's Anava. That God runs my life. Period. And that's why when you say I'm nothing, I have no smell, I have no taste, I'm an Aravot, and you hit me against the floor, because that's really what I am, I'm dust. Then you could say I can be a Kabbalah Torah. Do you hear that? That is crazy. It's a little crazy. It's a little crazy. It's a little crazy. But when you're Rava, not that I'm saying anything about a Rava was great. The Gemara says Rava was greater than Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in his Torah. Rava, who was only 40 years old when he passed away. He was an unbelievable Talmid Chacham, but when you have a little bit of gaiva, you're stuck. You're a little stuck. You're like the Adasman. You don't get it on top of the Aron. The Rava are the ones getting on top of the Aron. So now, what is Simcha's Torah? What's the definition of Simcha versus Sasson? What's Simcha, people?
Happiness.
Okay. What's the difference between that and Sasson? A little bit better. Sasson is the immediate pleasure. It's when you, I just won $1 million. Wow, I won $1 million. That's Sasson. I just got married. Wow. Kol Sasson and Kol Simcha. Yeah? Kol Chasan and Kol Kala. Sasson is that immediate pleasure. Simcha is one interpretation. Simcha is the pleasure of, we're now 10 years into marriage and we're looking at each other in the eye and we're saying, wow. Look at all these kids. Look at this house. Look at this job. Look at, wow. Look at the relationship. That's Simcha. So now, in Imbarim Strechi does this. Beautiful Torah. The Tanakh calls two different things Morasha as opposed to Yerusha. Yerusha is, what's Yerusha?
When you inherit it.
Without working. What's a Morasha? There's two things, Eretz Yisrael and Torah. We're not going to get into Morasha. We're not going to get into Eretz Yisrael, even though I love Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get more into Torah. What's the difference between a Morasha and a Yerusha? A Morasha is an inheritance. Something that is not necessarily given to you on a silver platter, but rather that you have to work for it. Yeah? Now all of a sudden we can understand maybe a little bit of Simchas Torah. Morasha. How can you be Kona Torah? Right? Where's Morasha, by the way? Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Torah Tivlana Moshe, Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Yeah? Morasha, by the way, the Gemara is an Irusin. It says Morasha, I'll integrate Morasha Ella Arusa, because like it's not 1,000% yours yet. You still got to work for it. You still got to get that total relationship. It's not totally yours until the end of your life. How do you get Simchas Torah? How do you do it? You work so hard every single second of your life. I want to get closer. And the only way you could do that is with total anava. The only way you're ever, every single second, wake up, people. The only way you're ever going to get to a total connection with Torah is total mevatel of yourself. I know that's hard. And I know no one wants to hear that. Because all work and no play makes Jack. What? I'm going to have to, every single second of my life, I'm going to work for the rest of my life to get, yeah. Everything hard in life, you have to work for. Everything hard in life, I have to work for. What? That's not a movie. Whatever. Listen.
All work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy.
That's a movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was just a saying. No. Now I lost my place.
We can edit it in the third part.
No, we can't edit anything in
it. It's hard to do. I know. It's hard to get it.
My friends. Should I do this? Do you think I should do this?
Yeah.
Should I open this up? Fine. Sure. I don't know if Weinberg says this. What's the opposite of pleasure, people?
Displeasure.
Oh, no.
What's the opposite of pleasure?
What's the opposite of pleasure, people?
Uncomfort.
Humbleness.
Is anyone?
It's not displeasure.
What? Have, your displeasure is pain.
No.
No. Oh, yeah. Like, annoyance. Yes.
Pain.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. You annoy about something.
Sorrow.
Pain.
Grief.
Pain. You want to say pain? Fine. Well, we're gonna pick on Zach Fetterbush, people. You want to tell me that the opposite of pleasure is pain?
Actually,
no. Just stick with the definition. For the sake of the chabur.
Okay.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
What is the opposite? You want to tell me that the opposite of pleasure is pain? So you know what that means? Don't get a. Is a good job pleasurable? Good job.
Yes.
Is a good job painful?
Yes.
Is being a parent pleasurable?
Yes.
Is being a parent painful?
He's whipping you.
Especially. Is we'll take it a step back. Is working out pleasurable? If you know how to work out, if you really know, you work out all the time. It's pleasurable. Is it painful?
Yeah.
Very painful. But it's also very pleasurable, especially afterwards. Yeah. Is being a good friend pleasurable? If you want to be a really good friend, is it painful? Okay, so now we see that the opposite of pain could not be pleasurable. Rather, they have to be coexistent. The opposite of pleasure is comfort, my friends. The opposite of pleasure is comfort. What do I mean?
It's a big
Ish idea. There's a big Rav Noach Weinberg idea, but it's so this concept. The opposite of pleasure, and you have to live with this for the rest of your life. The opposite of pleasure is comfort, and pain and pleasure go one on one.
They're why, this. Why comfort that?
Because comfort is the idea of.
You have to do things.
Because it's the idea of I am a zombie. You know what's very comfortable? You know what's very comfortable? To say that I don't have any problems right now. It's very comfortable. To say that, you know, me and my friend, we don't have any issues, and I'm going to run away from that issue.
Comfort brings pleasure.
For about 2 weeks, when you're on the beach. And then what happened? You know, Benazan is very comfortable. But then what happened?
You crash.
And you cannot wait till you get back to yeshiva, even though it's very painful. Why? Because yeshiva is pleasurable. Why? Because you're discovering life. The Gemara says in Tanis, Daf Zayin, that if a person who learns Torah properly... This is going to be the final concept. The person learns Torah properly, and it's so true. All you need is definitions. You live your life on a totally different level. That when a person learns Torah properly, the Shema, it's a Sam Chaim. And when he learns it, it's a Sam Mavit. People, what's the definition of Chaim?
Life.
What does life mean? Definition of life. Everything that lives does X.
You're really into it. You're really into it.
Everything that lives does X.
Breathes.
Breathes.
Do plants breathe?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In a way. Right. Fish don't breathe. Fish, they come right in the gills. Everything that lives does X.
It's dependent.
Go. Torah? No. David.
Water.
Which is Torah.
Avodah? Good. David, give me a guess.
I don't know.
Give me a guess. One guess. Everything that lives does?
Reproduces.
Say better.
Gives.
You just gave me a chiddush. I think you're so right. You used life. Oh my god. There's a machlokes in the Gemara in Kedushin what the definition of bracha is. So one opinion says reproducing. Another opinion says it's the other, which is the way I wanted to define it. That's one definition of life, according to that Gemara. Which I'm not going to go into that. Another definition of that bracha is to live.
Oh,
sorry, it's to grow. It's to grow. It's to grow. Everything. What's the difference between me and this? I grow and it doesn't. What's the difference between dirt and a rat? Dirt does not grow, rats grow. What's the difference between a plant and water? Plants grow, water doesn't.
Water helps the plants to grow.
Correct, but water doesn't grow. What does Torah do? It's a Sam Chaim. Okay, on a very physical level, everything grows. Everything physical is a spiritual symbol. You want to know how you're going to grow for the rest of your life? And growth is life. And life is pleasurable. But life is also painful. You want to know how you're going to grow for the rest of your life? Oh, Pam?
When are we finished?
You want to know how you do it? You do it with Torah. Torah, Lashon Hora'ah. Hora'ah, for the rest of your life. It teaches you how to live. It teaches you how to grow. You want to be successful. Everyone in this room wants to be successful. Anyone who's here, if you're here, you want to be successful. It's late at night. I'm tired. He said a bunch of gemaras, which he said really fast. I don't remember anything except for the fact that Ravnamar Yitzchak and Rava argue and Ravas and I don't remember anything. All I remember is that, I don't know. But either way, people, Torah equals Chaim equals growth. Anava means I'm totally mivatzeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You want to know how you're going to be kona Torah? Through anivas, because then you're the arava, and the arava is humility. Represent, right? Yeah? That's my spiel, man. That's my spiel. I hope that inspired anyone.
Mm-hmm.